From WBUR in Boston, it's Weekly Warm-Up, a sampling of the cornucopia of stories and interviews featured on Only a Game, sports public radio style.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.
Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
I cannot legitimately claim to always root for the underdog because the first professional team for which I ever cheered was the New York Giants, and no team employing Willie Mays could be termed an underdog. On the other hand, I do like to see teams that have been through hard times delight themselves and their fans by winning. That's why this story about Toronto FC turned out to be such fun.
Buttle! Adu! Buttle! Diggio! Yeah!
Last Saturday, in front of a capacity crowd at BMO Field in Toronto, the newest team in Major League Soccer made history. Toronto FC won a game.
Bedlam in Canada!
Until Saturday, Toronto FC's most unhappy distinction was that the team had not only failed to win, it had failed to score. The most lopsided of their four shutout losses occurred on April 14th when the expansion club gave up four goals to the New England Revolution in Foxborough, Massachusetts. At one end of Gillette Stadium, a group of beleaguered but loud Torontonians had established a home away from home. After the game, Toronto coach Mo Johnson tried in vain to remain positive.
We can compete. Tonight, I wouldn't say it was about competing. It was a night where we were just outplayed on numerous occasions. They'd taken their goals well. We never gave our goalkeeper a chance. We got four goals scored against us. The last two were mistakes schoolboys would normally do.
That last crack notwithstanding, the Toronto roster is perhaps no more dominated by schoolboys than anybody else's. Forward Edson Buddle, a veteran of the U.S. national team, is in his seventh season with MLS. Aleko Eskandarian, late of D.C. United, was the first pick in the league's super draft in 2003. Defender Jim Brennan joined Toronto after 10 seasons in England. After playing 3 years of A-League soccer in Toronto, Marco Retta took his game to first division teams in Norway and then Denmark before coming home to Canada, where he joined 10 other Canadians on the 18-man roster. Whether for that reason or others, Toronto FC has enjoyed magnificent support in its first season, for which the team sold more than 14,000 season tickets before the first game, a circumstance that left Marco Retta mystified but delighted.
I think it's been a little bit surprising. It's been fantastic. We would have never imagined it to have this so much support. It's been great for us, and we just hope we can do a good job for their support.
You got a lot of people get upset and angry if they don't see some goals scored and some wins.
Well, I think, you know, we welcome that. We'd rather play in front of 20,000 people than 5,000. You know, if there's added pressure to that, then so be it.
Last Saturday night, when Toronto posted its first win by dousing the Chicago Fire 3-1, there were more than 20,000 fans at BMO Stadium. For purposes of comparison, consider that on that night Toronto was shut out in New England, the crowd numbered a little over 14,000, and that contest was preceded by a game between the World Cup-bound U.S. women's national team and Mexico. According to Cahal Kelly, who covered the first win for the Toronto Star, the fans were more than happy to finally have something about which to cheer.
The atmosphere was electric. I don't think we've seen the like of it in many, many years, probably going back to Maple Leaf Gardens and to the 70s, the 60s, when the Leafs were great and average people could afford tickets. They showered the field with cushions. It was a bad day to have a free seat cushion giveaway. Late in the game, there was a scuffle between the Toronto defender, Adam Braz, and a Chicago Fire player. They tussled in the corner a bit. The crowd started to boo. Then a fan in the far stand launched a cushion at the Chicago player, and you could see it arcing through the air forever. And finally hit him right between the shoulder blades, about 40 yards upfield. It was an amazing shot. It was probably the best pass all day.
On Wednesday night, now streaking Toronto FC scored again. One goal proved to be enough for Toronto to squeak by defending MLS champion Houston, and the only bad news for the nearly 20,000 fans who braved the rain and cold that night was that they had no cushions to throw. Had the 2 wins in 5 days following the 4 losses with which Toronto had begun the season encouraged the team's fans to expect great things? I asked Cathal Kelly.
I hesitate to use the word great, but I think they're now expecting things, which was something they weren't expecting before. I think the chemistry seems to be coming, and there's also now the suggestion that Toronto will get a designated player at some point this summer. So there's the feeling here that this team actually might compete.
Should that happy circumstance prevail, Toronto fans will be prepared. According to the company that supplies MLS apparel, Toronto fans have bought up 3 times as many team jerseys and scarves as the fans of any other team. And according to Cathal Kelly, the other team playing in Toronto this summer has cooperated magnificently in the ascension of the newest MLS team.
These are the boys of summer. The baseball club here, the Blue Jays, are going right in the tank. This is the hot ticket in Toronto. There was a bit of a groundswell when we got the club. The signing of David Beckham by LA Galaxy really helped boost our ticket sales as well. But this now is impossible. It's the hardest ticket in town to get is a ticket to Toronto FC. And just about everybody's wearing red and white in the stands.
Toronto FC hosts DC United, the team that has been plunged into last place by Toronto's recent success, this afternoon. My story about Toronto FC will be featured in this week's program. I'll also be talking with Clay Callum about the beginning of the WNBA season, during which I will be rooting for the Connecticut Sun, an underdog of sorts. Jenny Reese, who picked the winner of the Kentucky Derby a couple of weeks ago, will join me in order to provide you with an absolute lock for the Preakness, which will be run on Saturday. Only a Game's Karen Given will take us on a bicycle commute into Boston in celebration of Bike to Work Week. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.